Okay, morning. Today's daf in Chulin's Chaf Aleph. We are in Chaf Amud Beis. We're starting at the bottom of the Amud, towards the bottom of the Amud. Gemara's discussion today, continuation from yesterday, and that is the mitzvah of Malika as opposed to the mitzvah of Shechita. When it comes to birds, so for Karbanos, so you do Malika, for Chulin, you do Shechita. So that's it. That's all you need to know. Okay, we can all go. No, there's just a couple more details, and that is that basically they're mirror images of one another. Shechita is done from the front, Malika is done from the back. And after that point in time, they really are like I'll use the term literally polar opposites. So that's what the Mishnah taught us yesterday, that if you are do Malika from the front, it's possible. If you do Shechita from the back, it's possible. Meaning literally are the polar ends of the neck of the bird. A lot of good discussion that we had yesterday regarding the mitzvah of Malika as it relates to a carbon. I know it's Masechta Chulin. So it's like a funny place to discuss the mitzvahs of Malika, meaning Malika could have been backed up into Zvachim, maybe Menachos, but definitely Zvachim. Okay, so, but nevertheless, though, still, it's a contrast between how to prepare a bird, which is Chulin, versus how to prepare a bird, which is Karbanos. So fine, so it came into our Masechta. In the meantime, however, some very basic questions which we asked yesterday regarding the mitzvah of Malika. Some of them were resolved, some of them we did not resolve. So for example, by the mitzvah of Malika, so we know we can't do Malika with a knife. Cohen has to be doing it with his fingernail. There was a line in the Gemara yesterday that sounded like he can do it with his tooth. It's a funny line of the Gemara yesterday. It's a slightly difficult line of the Gemara yesterday. But the but nevertheless, let's go kipshuto. So the... The Gemara did not dwell on it, so I...
It has to be attached.
It has to be something attached to the Cohen's body. Okay, anyway. I didn't make a big deal of it yesterday. I certainly don't want to make a big deal of it today. Anyway, but the Gemara said it. Anyway, so for sure it has to be done with the fingernail of the Cohen, not with a knife. That's the mitzvah of Malika. One of the things that was open for discussion, debate yesterday, was does the Malika have to be done with a thrusting forward motion, which normally would pass by Shechita, that's called Dores, Hadrasa, or can the Kohen also go back and forth? That was an open-ended question, which the Gemara dealt with yesterday. The Gemara did not come up with a resolution. Where exactly is Malika done? So it's not done opposite the face, but it's done lower. Mimul Arpo, says the Torah, and we tried to give a more anatomical description yesterday where it is below, it's below the back of the skull, you know, what we would call the neck, but again, if I knew birds better, I could give you a better description. That's fine. Good discussion yesterday. We know there are five psulei shechita. The five psulei shechita, one of the five psulei shechita is a psul of ikor. Okay, exactly what ikor is. So, as I mentioned yesterday, not super clear. Could be tearing the pipes as opposed to cutting the pipes, which we discussed is why we're looking for pegimus and a knife. Could have to do with the dislocation of the trachea and the esophagus from its location. Whatever the case is, one of the psulei shechita is ikor. Does ikor apply to birds, yes or no? And so the Gemara also discussed that yesterday, and it could be connected, the Gemara tried to make this connection, to whether or not the shechita of a bird altogether is a mitzvah d'oraisa or just a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay. All this was part and parcel of yesterday's discussion. Question, which Gemara dealt with yesterday. We're going to do Malika on a bird, so that means to say that the Kohen is now going to stick his fingernail into the back of the neck of the bird in order to quote unquote shecht the bird, shecht the carbon. But again, the word shechita is referred to chulin, so in order to molake the carbon, wonderful. The Gemara yesterday was bothered because there was a statement made by Ziri. Ziri made the statement on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, Chaf Amud Beis, that if you break the neck, now presumably what he's talking about is the vertebrae. I mean, could also be referring to the spinal cord inside the vertebrae, but let's say it simply. If you break the mafrekis, if you break the spinal cord together with muscle and connective tissue that's together with that spinal cord, so immediately the animal is a nevela. Now, I say animal, by the way, here we could be talking about birds, animals, people, whatever the case is, it's going to be a nevela. So the question that Gemara dealt with yesterday is, I don't understand. Every time you're doing Malika, so what's the Kohen doing? He's going in from the back of the neck of the bird, going through the spinal cord. In other words, going through the spinal column, going through the spinal cord. So obviously what you now have is in front of you a bird which is dead. And then you're going to cut the simanim? Now, by a bird, you don't need to cut two simanim, you only need to cut one siman. And we'll be clear about that in just a moment, a little bit clear about that. But you're cutting the neck of the bird, and then only afterwards you're doing the malika, meaning you're cutting through the simanim. The bird's a nevela. I don't understand what's going on over here. And the Gemara was bothered because we had a braisa yesterday that we quoted, that if I do malika with a knife, so the bird is metame begadim beis abliya. Now the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're doing malika with a knife, so again, what you've done is you've rendered a nevela before anything else, and it's not even a shechita. So to which the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? When you're doing shechita with a knife, there are two possibilities in terms of what the problem is. One is that it would be chalada, and two, it would be doris, it would be hadrasa. And so what the Gemara explained yesterday, and again, this is where we ended up yesterday, that when I'm shechting with a when I'm doing malika with a knife in the back of the neck of the bird, so number one, it could be that the knife is now being hidden from view as it's cutting the simanim. Although the Gemara quibbled with that you could make another argument, which is that's only when I take the knife and insert it into the neck of the bird. But if I'm going from the back of the neck, so maybe it's not chalada. And the other issue is hadrasa, meaning instead of going back and forth, we're just chopping through the back of the neck. So the reason why the shechita is not a good shechita is because it's daris. Although, again, we quibbled with that as well, because, as I mentioned just a couple moments ago, it could be that malika is allowed to be done in a back and forth motion. Okay, this is where we got to yesterday. Amar Ravi kashuli hakashuli. So Ravi says, look, and this is where we picked up from yesterday's Gemara. Ravi says, I have a very simple question. It's so basic. V'chi mesa omed amalek. So I didn't understand. So, okay, fine. So it's not shechita. That part I get. Every single time you do malika, the bird now is dead as you are going through the spinal cord and spinal column. Good. Meaning, so I don't understand. So now the bird's a nevela. So the bird's a nevela, and now what? And now you're going to cut the simanim? That's wonderful. You're cutting the simanim. It's too late. So Amalei Abai, v'tikshu l'achol asov, debai shnei simanim. So Abai over here now, his additional comment doesn't help the question, doesn't hurt the question. It's kind of just like piling on. You know, when it comes to the bird of an ola, so it's even worse, because we know when it comes to the bird of an ola, so not only do we have to cut one simon, we have to cut two simonim. Meaning, for shechitas ha'of, you only need to go through one simon. And again, it could be trachea, it could be esophagus, either one. When you're going through the ola, so there is a requirement to go through both simonim. Not because that's a shechita requirement, but that's simply because there's a mitzvah of havdalah as it relates to olas ha'of. V'chimeis omen amalek. And so over here now, it's even worse when it comes to the ola bird. Because the ola bird, not only do you have to go through one simon, you have to go through two simonim after you cut the spinal column and the spinal cord. I don't understand. The bird's dead already. So amalei asim k'dei l'kayim ba mitzvah havdalah. So to which, as far as Abaye's pile on, so basically the Gemara says to Abaye, thank you, but no thank you. Meaning, you didn't add to the question, you didn't take away from the question. As it relates to the ola bird, the only reason why we're cutting through both simanim, it has nothing to do with the shechita per se. It's a separate issue, that's the mitzvah of Havdalah. Fine. So it doesn't change the question. The question's still on the table. So ihachi or nami klamake v'shechita make b'Havdalah. So the Gemara says, really, well, before we're not even answering the question yet, just the Gemara is seeking a little bit of clarification right now. What about the or? What about the hide at the front of the neck of the bird? So the Gemara says, no, there's no need to do that. Because if it's ma'akev b'shchit, it's ma'akev b'havdala. V'chol she'ena ma'akev b'shchit, and ma'akev b'havdala. You see, when it comes to the hide of the front of the neck of the bird, there's no mitzvah of havdala because I don't even have to shech that. Obviously, when doing shchita in its traditional sense, I have to cut through it in order to get to the simanim, but that's not part of the shchita. So the Gemara says, "V'hami yitziman l'rabbanan d'lo ma'akve b'shchita ma'akve b'avdala." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but you know, even as you're doing, even as we're comparing the mitzvah of avdala to the mitzvah of shchita, you know, according to the Chachamim, you don't even have to go through the majority of the simanim. I'm sorry, you don't have to go through the totality of the simanim. A majority is all you need. So that means to say that according to the Chachamim, so this mitzvah of avdala shouldn't have to go through all the simanim, just the majority." So So the Gemara just tweaks it a little bit. In other words, it's not ma'akev, it's just simply yeshno. Which means, basically, that if you have something which is eligible for shechita, i.e. the simanim, so then there's this idea of havdalah. So that's true by the Samanim, meaning the totality of Samanim. Yes, it's true, it's not Ma'akev by the Samanim, but certainly you have to do it. Yeah, in other words, it's eligible for the Shechita Act. When, as opposed to the Ur, as opposed to the Hide, it's not eligible for the Shechita Act, and so therefore it's not included in the mitzvah of Havdalah. All this is great discussion, doesn't answer the question. Mikol Makom Kasha, as now we turn to the top of Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph. All right, so the question is on the table, so let's reset. The question goes like this. You're doing the mitzvah of Malika. The Kohen now is taking his thumbnail, going through the back of the neck of the bird, going through the spinal column, spinal cord, and then is only cutting through the Samanim. I don't understand. The Erie tells me that every time you're Nishbar and Mafrekis, you break the spinal column and spinal cord, together with surrounding muscle and tissue, the animal is dead. The entity is dead. And so therefore, what you're doing Malika on is a dead animal. So don't understand. How does this work? It's a basic question. Amarav, a basic question definitely needs a basic answer. Amarav, ema v'cheinu oseh, chotech shezru, mafrekes below rav basar. And so over here, what we have to do is we're going to have to redefine what the act of Malika is. In other words, everything is basically the way we visually presented it earlier, where you're taking the Kohen's taking his thumbnail and going through the back of the neck of the bird and going through his spinal column, spinal cord, and eventually getting to the simanim. However, what we're also saying is the following. As he's going through the spinal column, spinal cord, make sure to only go through the spinal column, spinal cord, and not to sever the muscle and connective tissues. Now, I know that biologically, physiologically, it's hard to explain this, meaning that once you're going through the spinal column, spinal cord, so that is obviously where, you know, that's the communication, that the nervous system, the communication between brain and the rest of the body, and obviously it renders paralysis. I get all that, but nevertheless, though, in other words, I don't, my job only is just to explain it from the halachic standpoint. Halachically, the animal is only in Avela with Shedra and Rov Basar. In other words, that's the only point in time where it becomes an Avela. So when the Kohen goes in, make sure to only sever the spinal column, spinal cord, not Rov Basar together with it. The animal, the bird, is not an Avela. And then as you're going through the Samanim, now you're cutting the animal, you're cutting the Samanim while the life of the animal is still there, which is what you want. Okay, right. That's what I was going to say. In other words, it must be that just because of paralysis, that doesn't render the animal in the veil. Okay, agreed. Kisalik Rabbi Zera Ashkechel Rabbi Amid Yasev Yikamela Hashmaita. And the Gemara is basically going to review the same information in a discussion that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera makes Aliyah. Just recently we talked about Rabbi Zera going to Eretz Yisrael. Rebbeim told him not to go. Okay, but not for now. That's the Gemara and Ksuvos. But anyway, Rabbi Zera goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he sees Rabbi Ami, and they're going over our sugya, Amalei v'chimesa amin amolek, and I don't understand. The animal's dead. How are you doing Malika on a dead bird? It doesn't make sense. He's just repeating the question, meaning it's really a fundamental question. Ishtomim kishachadam, and he didn't know how to answer it, meaning it was such a strong question. So Amalei ema kachu oseh chotech shezru mafrekes below rav basar. And so the answer must be, it's going to be the same answer again and again. That when you're doing Malika, so the Kohen is taking his fingernail and only going through the spinal cord and column, not Rov Basar, not the muscles, not the connective tissues, and it must be then that the bird is not an Avela, and good, and Viter. And then just keep going until you get to the Simanim. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, also complementing the same point, Ketz Amokin, Chatzas Ha'of, how do you do Malika on a Chatzas bird? Remember, by birds, only two carbonates that are brought from birds. Chatas ola, that's it. Nothing else. So how do you do the Malika by Chatas bird? Chotech shezru mafrekes below. Rav basar achim agil aveshet ola kana. Higil aveshet ola kana. Chotech simon echad o rubo. Verov basar imo. Uva ola shnayim. O rov shnayim. So the Braisa tells us that you, as described earlier, you go through just the spinal cord and column, and that's it. Not the muscles and connective tissues. Then you go and hit a siman. Now, for a chatas bird, one siman. For an ola bird, two simanim. And then what you're going to do is you're going to finish off by cutting the remainder of the neck after and only after you cut through the simanim. The end of the braisa is a little bit confusing. Well, the truth of the matter is it's not so confusing, but Once we learn more information later this morning, so you'll see that the end of that brisa that we just quoted is a little bit confusing. At the end of the brisa, it says that for a chatas bird, you cut either the kana or the veshet. Good. That part's great. And then, when it says uva ola shnayim, or rov shnayim. When it comes to the bird, so you're going to be cutting both simanim, or the majority of both simanim. And so now the question begs. Now the question doesn't beg at this point in time. We don't really have the information yet. So let me just preview, and then you'll see that the question's going to beg. When there's this mitzvah of Havdalah when it comes to the Ola bird, where I have to be separating head from body, when you're doing the act of Malika, so that means to say that you're not going to just be cutting through one simon, you're going to be cutting through both simonim in order to create Havdalah. By the way, Havdalah does not necessarily mean that they have to be absolutely right, detached from each other, two separate parts. Havdal just simply means that the separation has to be obvious between the head and the body. Could be connected by skin, but in other words, there needs to be full separation. When we say full separation, does that mean that you have to go through all of the two simanim, kulo, or does it just simply mean they have to go through rove of the simanim? Now, mind you, by the way, let's not get confused. We're not talking about shechita in terms of extinguishing the life of the bird. For that, you only need to cut one siman, and not even. Rove of one siman would be enough. We are talking about the mitzvah of Havdalah. Separate from the act of shechita, or in this case, malika of a bird, there is also for the ola bird a mitzvah of Havdalah. The Torah by the chatas bird says, lo yavdil, and for the ola, so there's a mitzvah of Havdalah. So we are speaking specifically about a separate mitzvah related to the bird, the ola's bird, and that is the mitzvah of Havdalah. Does that require to go through all of the two simanim, or just the majority? What we're learning, what we're going to learn later this morning, machlokes atanayim. Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, in terms of whether you need all or the majority. With that stated, and later we'll quote the Pesukim, and we're going to learn the drushas later on this morning. But with that stated, so now you look at the end of the Brisa that we just cited, and so now where's the Brisa taking a position on this matter? Seemingly, the Brisa is not taking a position in this matter. The Brisa is entertaining both viewpoints. But in other words, it's one Brisa. Usually, generally, a Brisa follows one opinion, not multiple opinions. So here we go. So money, Rabbanan Hamri Shlaim Davka. If the Brisa was holding the Chachamim, so the Brisa should end with the word Shlaim, and that's it, period. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Hamer Rav Shnayim, and if the bright and the end of the brisa was holding like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, so the brisa should have just simply said Rav Shnayim, and that would be it. What is the brisa doing? Seemingly entertaining both opinions. Shnayim LaRabban and Rav Shnayim LaRabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So one way you could say the brisa over is the brisa is entertaining both positions. We're just going to have to read a little bit more into the brisa. The brisa at the end is acknowledging that there's a machlokas, and the brisa is just simply saying whichever position you follow. That's one way to read the brisa. Or we could say like this. No, the brisa really fundamentally is going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Who says that you need rov? But you know what we're saying now? Even though according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon it says that you only need to do rov, what does rov mean? Now, I'll tell you what rov generally means. Majority. But when we say a majority, though, we generally mean a simple majority. Right? In other words, if I have 3 dayanim, so what's a simple majority? 2. If I have 23, so what's a simple majority? 13. I understand it's not always that simple, but in other words, majority just simply means I have over 50%. Over here, what the Gemara now is treating us to is that even according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, for the mitzvah of Havdalah of an Ola, even though he says Rov, Rov still means a majority, but I'll call it, for lack of a better term, supermajority. In other words, majority by itself is not enough. It has to be shnayim shedomim l'shnayim. It's got to be obvious that you have covered, that you have cut and severed the majority. Rashi domim l'shnayim d'lechatchila b'ina shiachtoch rov lehejia she'emira le'einayim. It has to be obvious to the eye, explains Rashi. Shu rov or rov shnayim v'afilu rov mitzum tzam. Now, okay, good. So that is another way to read the brisa. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Nishbara, Mafrekes, Verov, Basri, Ma, Mitame, Be'ola. So what we're going to be doing today, this morning, is we're going to be jumping around a lot from different species. We are now moving to human beings. Now, I know we're moving to human beings because we're talking about Tumas Ohal. Tumas Ohal only applies by human remains. It does not apply by animals. certainly not by Shrotzim. In other words, we're obviously talking about humans. So by a human, if you have the breaking of the mafrekas together with Rov Basar, so the human now is immediately rendered a nevela, meaning the word nevela is not the appropriate word. The human is rendered a mace, and so therefore giving off Tumas Ohel. Rashi over here goes so far to say, ve'afilu mefarcheses, meaning if there is a breaking of the spinal column and cord together with the connective tissue and muscle in that area, so the human now is immediately rendered a mace, and even if there's convulsion afterwards, but still there is Tumas Ohel that is given off of the body, meaning it's dead. It's a mace. Ve'im tomer osa maisa de'eli. So mafrek is below Rav Basar Havai. So the Gemara says, okay, now what if you know Tanakh? Now if you don't know Tanakh, so the question is never going to bother you, and you're good. But what if you do know Tanakh? And you know Tanakh, so you know in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, so you know that Eli hears news about the Aron being taken, being taken captive. News gets back to Eli. Eli falls back on his chair, lands on his neck, breaks his neck, and dies immediately. Now over there, the only thing that happened is that his neck snapped. In other words, you did not have the detachment of the Rov Basar, and nevertheless, Eli died immediately. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. So, I'm sorry. Before the Gemara gives the answer. Ziknashani. So the Gemara says, okay, but for Eli, the reason why the breaking of the neck resulted in instantaneous death is because not only was there a breaking of the neck, but there's also old age. When you couple the two together, so then it results in instantaneous death. But if there is a youth and a vibrancy, so then in order to result in immediate death, you need the mafrekis and robuster to be disconnected. The pasuk says, "Vayikas kiros aron alukim vayipol me'al kisei acharonis ba'ad yad hashar v'tishaber mafrakto v'yamos ki zakena ish v'chaved." And now that we know the answer, you read the pasuk and you read the answer into the pasuk, meaning the pasuk just reads exactly as we described. He fell backwards. After having fallen backwards, his neck is broken. Then he dies. Ki zakena ish, because he's old. Oh, so in other words, what the Navi is actually explaining to us is why did he die immediately? If it's only that his neck broke, okay, so the neck breaks, so it doesn't normally result in immediate death. But because ki zakena ish, now we know that zikna together with the breaking of the spinal cord and column, that results in immediate death.
Also heavy.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know Novi, so okay, good. Yeah, right. Okay. The pasuk that's quoted over here. Okay, right. Okay. Another factor. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't raise that as one of the factors. No, Phil's point is that he was also heavy. The Torah says that. Navi describes him as being overweight. Okay, fine. So, right. Okay, but I just noted that the Gemara doesn't use that as one of the factors, one of the considerations. If a person is sliced open like a fish, okay, so you ever gone fishing? I have. So in other words, so you put a slit laterally through the fish, and so that's how you open it up. And so over here, karagadag, if a person is split open like a fish, so mitame bowel, and again, it's the same point. In other words, it's after the splitting, immediately after that point in time, so we consider the person dead, and so therefore giving off tumas ohel, and even if there's convulsion taking place afterwards, it does not matter. In other words, it's mace, and giving off tumas mace. Now, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzhak umigabo. Now, Shmuel Bar Yitzhak says, yeah, but that's not from the ventral side, from the front, but rather that's from dorsal, it's from the back side. Okay? Again, you know, and the little that I know makes sense, but good. That's the Amr Shmuel Asal Gistera Nevela. Shmuel says that if you are sliced into two, now this is going not laterally, but I guess I would say horizontally. In other words, if you are cut into two pieces, the word is Gistera. We see that word coming up all the time throughout the Gemara. It's probably not a Hebrew word, but nevertheless, though, it means that you're basically cut into two pieces. So, also gistera nevela, so that immediately renders the person a nevela. Now, we're using the nevela over here, by the way, the word nevela over here, so we're not talking about a human, right? I told you, we're jumping around the Gemara between what is considered end of life for a human or end of life for an animal by virtue of the fact that we're using the word nevela over here. So clearly we're talking about an animal. So aso gistera nevela. Am Rabbi Elazar nital hayerech v'chalal shala nevela. Rabbi Elazar says that if the thigh is taken out where literally there's nothing left in the ball, in the socket, so then that renders the animal immediately nevela. Now, what does that mean? There's nothing left in the socket. If the animal was squatting and you still notice that there's a missing portion of the thigh, so that is considered where the animal is now chaser, and the animal, again, immediately rendered a nevela. Tanan Hasan, the Gemara quotes now a Mishnah. Mishnah is an Olos, and the Mishnah over here, even though it finds itself in Olos, it is not talking about humans. It's talking about, now according to Rashi, it's talking about Shemona Shratzim. It's talking about eight crawly items. Okay, as far as the Torah is concerned, basically when the Torah categorizes animals, so outside of humans, so there are the large animals. I'll keep it even simpler. There are animals, basically animals that work on four. There are birds, there are fish, and then there's Shratzim. Anything which crawls on the ground is considered a Sheretz. Right, categorically, a snake, a frog, right? But it's not just, in other words, rats also, rodents also. Basically, anything which is low to the ground is called a sheretz. It looks as if it's kind of like crawling on the ground, even if it has legs, but still, it's called a sheretz. Of the shratzim, eight of the shratzim, when they are dead, gives off tumma. It is the, as far as the avas tumma is concerned, the source of tumma, it is the weakest of the avas tumma. It only gives off tumas maga, not masa, not ohel. And the Mishnah over here now is describing at what point are they considered dead, where they're going to give off tumah. Tosfos over here doesn't exactly agree with Rashi, but again, we'll just for our purposes right now, we'll go with Rashi's pshat. Hutz Rashi Amafa Pisha Mefarchesin Tameim. Once the head is cut off, so even though there's pirchus, even though there's convulsion, gives off tumah. Kizana Valtash Mefarcheses. And over here, the Mishnah tells us, you know what it's like. It's like when you're cutting off the tail of a lizard. So you see that it's quivering. There's still some nervous twitch. Doesn't matter. There's no life in it, and it's considered dead. Same thing once you cut off the head of a sheretz. So even if there's convulsion, it is now going to be an avatuma. It'll be a source of tuma. Again, remember, it's only limited to eight of the shratzim, those that are identified in the Torah, as if we knew what they were. My hoods, the Reish Lakish Amar hoods and mamish. Now, exactly what do we mean when we say that the head was cut off? So, according to Reish Lakish, it means that the head has to be totally detached. Ravasi Amar Rebbe, Ravasi Amar Rebbe, Mani Kavdalas Olasa'of. So, it's just like the mitzvah of Havdalah when it comes to Olasa'of. The Gemara is just making a comparison. Obviously, those are two different halachas. The mitzvah of Havdalah Sa'of is just a mitzvah essay. It's a positive commandment to separate the head from the rest of the bird when you're doing the mitzvah of Malika. Over here, we're talking about when the sheretz is going to be subject to tumah, when it's dead. What does that mean? We're just comparing the halachas, obviously. So, Amalei Rav Yirmala Rabbi Asi Kavdalas Olas Ofla Rabbanav Lo Pligisu Odimah Kavdalas Olas Ofla Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Upligisu. So, question, meaning when we're talking about the mitzvah of Havdalah, so as we went over today, we haven't seen the machlokas yet inside. But as we went over today, it's a machlokas. Machlokas at tanayim, exactly what constitutes the mitzvah of Havdalah. Either we have to cut all the simanim, that's a chachamim, or the majority of the simanim of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. When you're taking the mitzvah of Havdalah and using that as a model for when a sheretz is going to give off tuma, are you saying like the chachamim, which means total detachment, and so therefore you're basically repeating Reish Lakish's point, which is fine, or do you mean to say that we're going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, you don't need total detachment, you just need the majority of it to be detached, and maybe you're arguing on Reish Lakish. And he gives a very definitive answer. I'm arguing. I don't agree with Reish Lakish. I don't think that for a sheretz, in order for it to be a source of tumah, you need full detachment. I think that as long as the majority of the head is detached, so that at that point in time, it is a sheretz that gives off tumah. Igadami, now we're going to do the same thing once again, slightly different version. Rabbi Shimon Malakish Amar Hutzu Mamish. So we start off with the same starting point that according to Reish Lakish, in order for a sheretz to give off tumah, you need a complete detachment of the head off the body of the sheretz. And Ravasi Amar Rabbi Mani I'm sorry. V'Rav Asi Amar Rebbe Mani Kavdalas Ofla Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Berov Shnayim. And he says, I only need to be Havdalas Olas Of, like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon says, which is Rov Shnayim. In the Ikud Ha'Ami, it's the same thing. We just took out a step in terms of clarifying, like the Chachamim, like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. He answers, no, I'm going like Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. It gets us to the same point. Two times this morning now we have quoted the machlokas of the Chachamim, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. This is classic Gemara, where the Gemara expected us to know the machlokas, even before the Gemara formally presented the machlokas. That's how the Gemara operates. And now, after having mentioned the machlokas not once but twice in today's daf, so now it bears a look. And so what we're going to be learning together now is the actual drushas themselves. How do we arrive at this point? So again, let's just quickly summarize the machlokas. It's very straightforward. When a kohen is doing malika on the ola bird as opposed to the chatas bird, so by chatas bird, the Torah says lo yavdil, there should be no separation. Meaning, the kohen is going to do malika by taking his thumbnail, going through the back of the neck of the bird, going just through the spinal cord and column, not separating rov basar like we clarified earlier this morning, and then cutting, but only one siman by a chatas bird. The Torah does not want havdalah separation of the head from the rest of the body when it comes to a chatas bird. However, when it comes to the ola bird, so the kohen is going to be taking his thumbnail, going through the back of the neck of the bird, and having to separate head from body. Now, separation, as I explained already before, does not mean that they actually have to be in two separate parts, but there needs to be a clear separation. What exactly does that mean, clear separation? Machlokes ha-tanayim. According to the Tanakhama, you have to actually cut through the entirety of both simanim. Both the kana and the veshet need to be both severed in totality. Again, like I said earlier this morning, not as a shechita requirement, but just simply as a havdalah requirement. It's a separate mitzvah regarding the ola bird. As opposed to Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, where you do not need to go through all of it, just simply the majority. Majority is enough to create the mitzvah of havdalah to be mekayim the mitzvah of havdalah. Right. Right. So the Torah says lo yavdil. I think, right? I mean, Rashi quotes the pasuk also. I think, in other words, it sounds like it's a lav. Does it sound that way? Okay. Without
become as possible as a chata.
No, I wouldn't go to that. No. I just, in other words, you violated the lav. Does it become possible? I have a hard time imagining it, but you know, I could be wrong. I don't have a source readily available in my head. Anyway, the Gemara now, my Rabban and my Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, so whereas we are on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the question is very straightforward. What are we talking about? Meaning, where do we find this machlokas? So the Gemara quotes. So, D'Tanya, so the starting point of this discussion is now in the end of Parshas Vayikra. I know we've been here for a lot of times recently, but it makes sense. We're in Seder Kachim. So we went through Zvachim, we went through Menachos, so this is where you're going to find all the halachas of Karbanos. Specifically now, we're in the fifth perek of Vayikra, so that means that we are in the Karban Ola V'Yared. Karban Ola V'Yared, interesting. For limited Averos in the Torah, actually spells out which Averos, so for a limited number of Averos in the Torah, so you have to bring a Karban Chatas. However, the Torah is going to be lenient financially on the sinner, where the person, if he has the money, is going to be bringing a standard animal, a chatas animal. However, if he does not have the funds, will then bring a pair of birds. And if he really does not have the funds, is now tax bracket really at the point of poverty? So then he brings just a mincha offering as his chatas. Good. So this is the carbon oliviari. So right now we're at mid level where he is going to be able to bring a pair of birds. And the Torah now describes one is going to be a chatas, the other one's going to be an ola. Vesashini yase ola, the second one is going to be offered as an ola. Kim mishpat, like the laws. Now there is where the Torah ends. Now what does that mean, kam mishpat, like the laws? The laws of what? Kim mishpat chatas behema. So according to the first opinion of the Braisa, it's going to pattern itself like the laws of chatas behema. Well, what do you mean? Well, maybe you should follow the laws of Chatzos Ov, Keshu Omer. Vihi krivo. We know the Ola bird cannot be petted after the Chatzos bird because the Torah says Vihi krivo and you will offer it. Meaning we know that it is differentiated from the Chatzos bird. Chilek HaKasov in Chatzos Ov Lolas Ov. So we already know that there exists a natural differentiation between the two. So mani mekayim kemishpat kemishpat chatzos behemah. So therefore, when the Torah is saying that you're going to be following the models of another carbon, so what other carbon are we talking about? We're talking about the chatzos behemah. Okay, now, question is very obvious. So if we're saying now that the ola bird has to follow the rules of a chatzos behemah, well, obviously they're not the same. Chatzos behemah, you need to shecht. Chatzos bird, sorry, ola bird, you need to do malika. So we're obviously referring to other halachas that apply. Yes. We're going to take it from the chatzos animal and apply to the ola bird. Which halachas are we going to move from one to the other? Ma chatzos behemah eino ba'a. Three halachas the Gemara is going to focus on. Eino ba'a ela min achulin, uvayom, uviyado ayamanis, so three halachas that we are going to be taking from the chatas animal and moving it to the ola bird. Number one, we know that when a person is obligated to bring a chatas animal, he violated one of the 34, right? Because two of them are mitzvah sasei. When he violated one of the 34 isuri karis of the Torah, b'shogeg, so he has to bring a chatzos animal, and when he brings a chatzos animal, so that now serves as an obligation, and in order to pay for that animal, it must be coming from his post-tax dollars. In other words, it has to come from chulin. He cannot use money which already was earmarked and assigned as a karban and simply double dip and use that now as his chatzos animal. It has to come from min chulin. The same thing is going to be true regarding the ola bird. It must be coming min hachulin. Okay, why do we need a special drusha in order to get us to that point? Wouldn't have we known that already? It's a wonderful question. Definitely demands an answer.
Anything that comes chayvul has to be from chulin.
That's not always true. In other words, you could take your ma'aser sheni money and you can use it for shlamim. In fact, not only can you use it for shlamim, it's recommend. It's huh? Agreed. And okay.
How come they didn't mention the
Suzuka Chuta Sikra? There are many halachas.
Specific to both of them only that they're in common.
Okay, good. I don't know. Uvayom. And also during the day, and again, you can ask the same question, meaning that's true by all karbanos. Why do I need a special drasha over here? I'm with you. Yadu Yamanis has to be done with your right hand. Just like we learned earlier with the sprinkling of the chatzos animal, the sprinkling must be done with the right hand of the Kohen. Same thing when the Kohen is doing the avoda with the ola bird, it must be done with the right hand. Again, I'm with you. These are halachas that are universal to all karbanos. Why over here a special drasha is needed to get from the chatzos animal to the ola bird? It's a wonderful question. It certainly demands answers. But anyway, so ima lahalam berav shnayim afkan berav shnayim tamalamar umalak vihiksir. Now, if we are drawing a parallel, a limud from the chatzos animal to the ola bird, so you know over there by the chatzos animal of rosh shnayim, meaning we're shechting the chatzos animal. So by shechting the chatzos animal, so you need to cut the majority of the two simanim. So too over here, we're talking about the malika of an ola bird. Now again, it's a bird, it's malika, it's not the same. But if there is a rov shnayim requirement by animal, which there is, so maybe there's a rov shnayim requirement by the birds as well. Tamalamar umalak v'iktira. Ma'aktara harosh batzmo v'aguf batzmo, av malika harosh batzmo v'aguf batzmo. So when we are burning the bird, the ola bird, so there we are separating the head from the rest of the animal. It's based on other psukim, but we know that there's a full separation for the burning. Just like there's a separation for the burning, there is also going to be a full separation in the act of malika itself. This obviously is a reflection of the viewpoint of the chachamim. The chachamim, therefore, are of the opinion that when you do malika on an ola bird, so there is a requirement of havdalah, full havdalah, meaning full separation of head from body. Again, it doesn't mean that two have to be detached from one another. It just simply means that when you're cutting, you must be cutting through both simanim in their entirety. Rabbi Yishmael Amar Kemishbach Kemishbach Chatzos Machatzos Of Mimul HaOreif Af Olas Of Mimul HaOreif. So Rabbi Yishmael also understands the words Kemishbat, but not like the Chachamim. The Mishpat goes meaning Mishpat Chatzos Of. We are drawing a halacha from the Chatzos bird over to the Ola bird. Just like that by the Chatzos bird, it's Mimul HaOreif. There the Torah says it explicitly. So too with the Ola bird, it's Mimul HaOreif. The Torah does not say it explicitly. We're learning it via drasha. Okay, good. So if we're learning a halacha from the chatas bird to the ola bird, so what about the mitzvah of not, or I should say better, the iser of not being mavdil? So tamalomar v'ikrivo. So the Torah says no v'ikrivo. Again, that tells us that there is differentiation between the ola bird and the chatas bird. And so once we know this differentiation, so there is no havdala requirement by the chatas bird, but there is in fact a havdala requirement by the ola bird. And finally, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer, Kimishpat chatas ha'of. It follows the laws of the chatas bird. Malahalan oches berosho uveguf umaze. Afkan oches berosho uveguf umaze. And so according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, just like over there, you're holding the head and the body in order to be sprinkling it in the direction of the mizbeach, so too with the ola bird as well. Oches berosh v'guf, you're holding the head and the body, and you're doing the hazah. So my kamar, the gemara says, let's try to understand that point a little bit better. Hachi kamar, as we are now on the top of Chav Beis Amaral. Ma lahalan kishu oches arosh v'guf, maze afkan kishu achuz arosh v'guf maze. So just like over there, you are sprinkling while holding the animal, so the bird, so to over here. Ima lahalam b'simen echad, afkan b'simen echad. So I might have thought, okay, you know, by the chatas bird, I'm only cutting one simen. Same thing with the ola's bird. So the tam alam revik revo. So the Torah says, no, you need differentiation. So differentiation tells me that, no, by the chatas bird, it's only one simen, but by the ola bird, it's two simanim. And as we will learn in tomorrow's daf, but according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, you don't need to make a full Havdalah. As long as you do the majority, that will be enough, that will be sufficient. That point will be clarified in tomorrow's daf. Okay, so let's quickly recap. Our daf today explored the very basic question, such a fundamental question. If by breaking the spinal cord and column, and by going through the muscle and the connective tissue, you are rendering any creature, bird, animal, right, human, as an instantaneous nevela, so how then is Malika done? Where you're going through the back of the neck of the animal. So the back of the neck of the bird. So how is Malika done? Effectively what you're doing when you're getting to the simanim, which is the actual act of shechita, so the bird's already dead. It's a fundamental question. And the Gemara, in the beginning of today's daf, answered that question. And that is that you're only going through the mafrekas. You're not hitting Rav Basar. The bird is not an avela, and that is why, and that is how you do Malika. So basically, it demands that we have to give a very limited definition of what Malika actually is. A discussion of the majority versus all of the simanim for the mitzvah of Havdalah by the Ola bird, to Machlokas. And the Gemara went through a number of other things that renders instantaneous death, right? By humans, by animals. We went through different scenarios where it results in instantaneous death, even if there's convulsion afterwards. It does not indicate life, just simply indicates nervous twitching. And then finally, the last thing we did today is we introduced ourselves to the Braisa that talks about the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Havdalah by the Ola's bird. Is it the entirety of the Simanim, or is it the majority of the Simanim?